Well, let's get started here. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to talk about Jezebel tonight. Jezebel is a religious woman. And I've just been thinking about this a lot. And I've thought about this for about a month or two, actually, a few months. And I didn't put it together all right away. And just some things, some thoughts, and from the scriptures, and just some experience, some life experience that we could see from the scriptures and things practically applied to things that have went on or that have happened, or women that I have seen in my life and watched that Jezebel spirit rise up in some women, and its effect on people, its effect on the church, and its effect on the home, okay? And I think it's important to have a better understanding, okay? A better understanding of that. I think it's very important that we know about that and we understand that spirit, because it's a wicked one. And I'm going to tell you what, you could see it. And I'm going to tell you what, you might hear some things tonight. It might remind you yourself a little bit. Maybe you're doing some of these things. Well, then it's best that you repent. It's best that you get right with God. And you might know somebody, you might know a woman that's done these things to you or had that Jezebel spirit. Well, don't get mad and don't pout about it. Just get right. Amen? You know, you might have been impacted by that. There's a lot of effeminate Ahabs that have been affected by Jezebels. A bunch of neutered men. And this type of preaching is not popular to a lot of people. It's rough in its course, but that's what it takes is a prophet of Elijah to come out and thunder out that truth against that wicked spirit. Right. And to deal with it, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 18. And of the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Yeah, you mean repent of their deeds, repent of their sins? Yeah, what's wrong? What's going on with that? And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. You know, it's very interesting that he said that they did not know the depths of Satan, and Jezebel was right there. I think that's interesting to think about there, that, you know, they didn't understand the depths of how deep Satan's workings was, and I don't think we realize that there would be Jezebels among us even. They could be in our churches, they can be in our homes. That spirit can be everywhere and is everywhere. And the traits of that spirit, which we're going to probably exhaust tonight, by the time I'm done, you pray that my voice holds out. I should have had some cayenne first and gargled with some cayenne, but I didn't. I didn't do that, and I wanted to, but I didn't. I haven't stopped running around for hours here, so I've been busy all day. But anyway, so you pray that my voice holds out. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with me now, Lord, and I pray you'd help us understand this great truth. I pray, Lord, that you'd help my voice to hold out, Lord, that you'd speak through me, that you'd use this for your honor and glory. Dear God, I know you hate this Jezebel spirit. And I know it's crippled many of man, and it's crippled many churches, and it's affected many homes. And Lord God, I pray that we, like Jehu, would drive furiously through it tonight, that we would tell the truth, that we would lift up the truth and expose the wickedness that is there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, there's a warning here to this church in Thyatira. That warning is concerning Jezebel. Some people have speculated to say that it was used as a figurative. He was using a figurative of Jezebel the prophetess, just like of old Jezebel was in the church. There was that false doctrine. There was that wicked spirit in the church of Thyatira. Some men even said that it was the bishop's wife of that church. Some historians have said, no, that's not Bible, I'm just giving you history, don't lose your mind here. But some historians have said, there's some people that lose their mind if you use some history or something like that. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background here. Don't lose your mind now over it. But Brandon Potter's got a video waiting for it right now, and three people are going to watch it. Yep, three. That's it, three people, but they'll all three will watch it. Anyway, I'm going to keep moving. But that yeah, it's all of us laughing at it. But hope that kid doesn't quit his day job, but he probably doesn't have one because he's hanging out with his mom in the basement or something. That's probably what's going on. But anyway, I just gave him enough exposure, so I'll keep moving. But Thyatira, right? They were warned, right? They were warned about that Jezebel spirit. Some people say it could have been the bishop's wife, that she was running the church, that she was seducing the servants of the church to sin and to commit fornication. We see that it's likened back to that Jezebel, all the way back to that spirit of the Old Testament, because some of the same characteristics apply. Some of these same things applied in this church. But I want you to understand something, and I guess really what I want to try to explain to you is that Jezebel is a religious woman. There are many times that people think Jezebel is a complete atheist that just hates anything to do with God. Now, there are some of those out there like that. They're more high profile, but it's the low profile Jezebels that are more dangerous. I want you to understand that tonight. Low profile Jezebels are way more dangerous than high profile ones. Okay, the bold, brassy, high profile ones that let you know everything, yeah, they're not as dangerous as the ones that hide. And hide very well. They hide who they are very well, and they're very dangerous. And they cause a lot of problems, a lot of damage. And they have they don't care. As long as their agenda is met and they get what they want, they don't care how much damage they cause. Doesn't matter to them. So anyway, as we see this here, some people think that, oh, are you talking about just lost people when you talk about Jezebel? No. Unfortunately, there are saved women even that I believe that take on some of these attributes, some of these traits that they need to repent of. Because they're wicked. They're wicked traits. There's some men out there that act like Ahabs. Indecisive, passive. Don't lead by example. Don't lead with force and fire and vigor. You know, we'll talk about that sometime. I really, listen to me, if you're a man, you ought to have goals. You ought to be driven. You ought to have goals. You ought to have desires. You ought to have a plan. You ought to have that. Amen. That doesn't mean, I'm not saying you got to have a desire to be rich. I'm saying you ought to have a desire to succeed in something. Spiritually, first of all right, but then have an understanding that, listen, I've got to make plans for my life, and I've got to have some kind of goals. If it's to serve God with my life, then okay, great, I'm serving God, that's in any capacity, whatever job I work or anything, but I'm always, I have some goals in mind, spiritual goals, goals as an employee, financial goals. I mean, that again, that's not saying I have a desire to be rich, and that's not what that means. But you can't just walk around life aimlessly and say, well, I'm living by faith. No, having a direction is living by faith. Walking around in limbo is not having faith, okay? Anyway, that's another sermon. Don't worry, I'll get back to it. Jezebel in the churches, though. By the way, that Jezebel spirit, though, loves that man that has no direction, because he's easily manipulated and controlled. Yeah, so she gives him the direction. That's right. That's where it comes from. All right, so number one, Jezebel and the churches. I want to talk to you a little bit about this. Right here is a solemn warning in this church of Thyatira that Jezebel was among them. They already had the problem there. God was warning us. Jesus was warning us. And by the way, let me say this very clearly. Jesus Christ hates that Jezebel spirit, absolutely hates it, and that's why he outed it here in this chapter. That's why you didn't get out of the book of of Revelation, the first part of Revelation, without you understanding that churches are not to harbor Jezebels. I'll get to that in a second. There are many Jezebels in churches today, many with that same spirit. It could be anybody. It could be the pastor's wife. It could be a deacon's wife. It could be a single lady. It could be an older lady. Doesn't matter. But yes, there are Jezebels in churches today. There are generational Jezebels in churches today that have been there for a long time. They reproduce more Jezebels. They teach them their same awful, ungodly, wicked traits. We are flooded with them today in churches. Jezebel is not an atheist. No, she's a religious woman. I would dare say that Jezebel is a fundamentalist when it's to her advantage. Right? Turn that fan, will you please? It's like blowing my pages all over the place here, the Bible here. Thank you. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest. Look at that word. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. You like meat sacrificed unto idols? Sorry. That spirit should never be accepted among the saints of God. But we see that God was not pleased that that spirit was influencing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think one of the greatest sins ever committed by man, listen to me, is to suffer or tolerate a Jezebel and not deal very straightforward with that spirit and drive furiously through that wicked spirit as Jehu did to defeat her. But many effeminate Ahabs tolerate that spirit. They tolerate it. Listen, if your wife has those traits, don't unleash your wife on children. On your children. Fix them. Deal with them. Because all you're going to do is produce more children like that, that do the exact same thing. It's not love to look at your wife or anybody else and think, well, I will tolerate that Jezebel spirit in you just to get along. No, all you're doing is producing bitterness, anger, wrath, malice, and hate in the people that have to bear the wrath of that Jezebel. See, man, you sound like you're getting excited. I haven't even started yet. I'm just praying my voice holds out. You have to turn me up, Brother Neil. Might have to blast that thing. We run across Jezebels all the time on the street. They're very real. Oh, man, let me tell you, they are everywhere. They are everywhere. And, man, they want to touch you. They want to impart their little devils on you, man. They want to put their hands on you, man. Especially PJ. They like to smack him right upside his head, man. Whoopsh. Man, they like to. I'm telling you what. I can't think about that video right now because it's going to make me laugh. But anyway, that video. Stop it. That video. So fitting. Listen, they claim to be Christians. They all claim to be Christians. Oh, they're Christian Jezebels. They all, I'm telling you, they are. Up until the time they say, right before they're done, after they say, you don't preach any love and you don't do anything with love, right before they, I hate you, I hope you burn in hell forever. Ah! And your little dog too. That's what they sound. That's what they sound like when they're done. Okay, I want you. I remember that. I want you to die. Oh, and yeah, fake tears. We'll get to the tears. I'm gonna get to that. Okay. Men are not to suffer and tolerate that spirit, because it only gets worse when you suffer and tolerate a Jezebel. You teach your son that it's acceptable behavior to be passive and not to stand up for what's right, or to marry a Jezebel that will take advantage of him. Thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. Suffer her. You're not to suffer her. What does that mean exactly? We're going to explain that a little bit here in a minute. What are those traits, though, of that Jezebel? Well, she's not going to come to you openly, hating religion or faith. No, she'll come in, slip in there. She might even fly under the banner of King James only. There are a lot of women that are Jezebels at heart, and they'll be in our churches, and they'll be a part of everything, and they'll mask themselves. Jezebels are masters at manipulating and hiding who they really are in the cloak of religion. They use religion as a cloak to hide their wickedness and to lord over their husbands. And they use the Bible to lord over their husbands. She calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches, but certainly not too openly, so as to blow her cover. No, she does it under the banner of the effeminate Ahab that allows it. She's a teacher of bad things, not good things. Though she wraps it all up in a Christian veneer. Everything's wrapped up in it, but she's a teacher of bad things, and she uses it only to pervert. She's a prophetess. She loves God, of course. She's the one really running the show, and most of the time Jezebels are running the homes and the churches. What's that? She loves God, that's right. The Bible talks about suffering that Jezebel, tolerating her, putting up with her, allowing her. He condemned the church for allowing it there, for allowing that spirit. And you know what? There are so many effeminate Ahabs in pulpits today that allow Jezebels to run their churches and allow them to control their churches and to control the spirits of those churches. Because they don't want to put them in their place because they're concerned about their deacon. That's the deacon that's married to him and the money that's being given and everything else, so they won't deal with it. They pastors won't deal with it in counseling. When they're counseling people, they won't cover that. She calls herself a prophetess. Jezebel was a woman, a queen, an idolater, a persecutor, and the virtual ruler and director of the government of Israel. Ahab was nothing but a puppet in her hands. Everything that Ahab did was at the bequest of Jezebel. She stirred up all the trouble. She stirred up all the problems. Ahab is a figurehead only. I've seen it time and again. I've seen religious Jezebels come, and even in this church, I've seen them. And their Ahab husbands not restraining them, and they run the family, and they even write their own messages for their husbands, I think. Sorry, I'm not good at being fake, so I just have to be real. Amen. I don't have a big old book of illustrations that I use every week. I just use the real-life things that happen. Amen. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 20, please. Jezebel, she ran everything. She was in charge. Actually, we'll go to 21 here. How about Naboth? Remember him? The Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give it thee. I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seemeth good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it. I'm going to go over this later. But that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Oh, sell out. Come on, Naboth, sell out. Sell out your vineyard. Sell it out. And Ahab came into his house. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. No, I'm sorry. I'm a real man. I'm not giving you my land. Uh-oh. Jezebel don't like real men. You're going to see that in a little while here. Just like Jezebel when she wrote in Ahab's name, right? These hide under a phony headship. All the while, they manipulate their husbands into following their every whim and order. All she did was write in the name of her husband. Yep. And got away with everything. Right? A pretended false phony headship. Right. That's not even real. Beware of somebody who completely overemphasizes something and acts like it is completely, they've got it down perfect. There's nothing wrong with their family. They've got everything perfect. It's everybody else that has a problem. Yeah. It's probably a facade. Hard lessons to learn. She controlled everything, all from seemingly behind. I watched a family do that here. Towards the end, it became very evident who was running the home and wanted to run the church. Why? Because Jezebels hate Elijahs, that's why. They hate the prophets of God. They hate Jehu warriors that stand against the feminist satanic nonsense. They don't like that. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't cry, Ahab, you big baby. I'll give you what you want. Why? Because she controlled him. She ran the kingdom. That's why. She ran everything. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. You know, Jezebel is very good. That spirit is very good at hiding behind headship, leadership, and still manipulating and pulling strings from behind. So that man is nothing more than a figurehead. You could see that in a lot of fundamental Baptist homes, by the way. When you get close enough to see it, you can really see it, that the woman is like dictating everything, and she is pushing that husband around, and he goes to a church, and he goes to a deacon's meeting, and he goes through all these things, and he acts like, but in the meantime, his wife is pulling the strings, and if he does something that she doesn't like, she's going to pull that carpet out from underneath him. He's going to be in trouble. He's not going to go to the church he wants. He's not going to do what he wants. He's not going to live the way he wants. Another trait of Jezebel, the religious woman, is to cut off the prophets of the Lord. She hates real prophets. Hates them. They don't like that preaching. I don't like that straightforward preaching. Albeit, it's funny, much of the response that I see of people that get really very irate and angry are fundamental Baptist women that don't like hard preaching. Ones that grew up in the fundamental Baptist church. I'm sorry, but those are the ones that I've had the greatest opposition of my life from, are those people. They hate it. Why? Because there's no cloak and cover for their sin, that's why. There's no cover for it. You can't just fake your way through it. Somebody's going to preach the word of God, thunder it out straightforward. If you don't like it, tough, because he don't care. The manipulating tears, the bawling, the crying, and everything else doesn't affect him. He's still going to preach the word of God. They don't like that because they can manipulate their husband. I don't like the way he says that. Well, prophets don't care if you like the way they say things. That's why those Jezebel women get mad. Because that prophet, he don't care if you like it. Because God didn't tell him to worry about liking it. God told him to go out and preach it. Said, I've given you a forehead harder than their forehead. Amen? I've made your forehead harder than their forehead. Yeah, that Jezebel's forehead, yeah, your forehead's harder than hers. Amen. So don't worry about it. Just keep preaching. They don't like it. She's getting mad at it. I'll let her get mad. Maybe she'll get right. Amen. But either way, your tears don't change the truth. Right. Truth is truth. Amen. You can bawl like a baby if you want to. Manipulate your husband like that, but you're going to manipulate me like that. I'm not going to stop just because of that. Right. Hey, I have four daughters. Girls know how to turn that on and turn it off. Turn it on, turn it off. Turn it on, turn it off. Don't believe me? you might be being played then. You might be being played then if you don't believe that. Now, I believe there's real tears, and I believe when there's real situations. But I've seen before where there's many people that they cry tears because they want to be rebellious. We'll get to that, though. That's part of manipulation. We won't skip over that tonight. You'll be here till about 3 o'clock in the morning, but we'll get through it all. You know why there are so many women in fundamental churches that get mad at this preaching? Because they have a Jezebel spirit, and they want to cut off the prophets of God. They like that soft-spoken guy that wants to do those ladies' extravaganzas. Those are the kind of guys they like. Get up there and serve chips and cheese to women, and get up there and give little sermonettes to all those women up there, those little dainty women with the little teacups and everything, so they can have fun with that. Now, I'm fine. You can have your little teacups and everything else, but I'm going to go preach a little sermonette to you and let you live like hell and treat your husbands like garbage and raise your daughters to be wicked women that manipulate men. Of nonsense. I'll tell you what. You know how long you have a ladies' extravaganza here? You just start preaching the word of God, invite 500 ladies here, and see how long they stay. I'm going to tell you that right now. They'll be running out that door as fast as they can with their cinnamon roll bonbon in their hand out the door. I'm going to tell you that right now. Bunch of nonsense. Bunch of nonsense is all it is. I know I make people mad when I say things like that, but that's okay. Again, I don't care. So I'm tired of the fake, fluffy stuff that nobody deals with substance anymore. It's like that Southern stuff down there, that Southern Revival, hippity-hoppity stuff they're doing down there. Nobody wants to deal with the substance of the argument. Nobody wants to deal with the substance of the argument. No, of course not. But they like the fluff and the show and the pomp and everything else. But that's not going to help you in your life. And that's not going to help you be a better wife or a better husband. It's not going to help you do that. It's a bunch of show and theatrics that never helped anybody out. A bunch of fornicating women running in there too, being honored and praised and everything else, along with the saints of God, and acting like nothing's a big deal. Why? Because sin ain't a big deal. And when you preach a fluffy message that don't make anybody mad, yeah, you can get 500 ladies in a room together to hear that. Amen. Serve them cake and some Cheetos, and they're there. I mean, just the way it goes. Give them little gifts and tell them how sweet they are. I don't mind telling my wife how sweet she is, but I'll tell her the truth too. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? That's why they hate that spirit. That's why that Jezebel hates that spirit. I hate it. Woo, hate it. 1 Kings 18:4. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with the bread and water. Yep, Jezebel's in churches, man. They'll cut off the prophets of God in that house of God. Man, I'll tell you what, they'll try to starve that preacher out if they can get away with it. They'll spread some rumors, bring some problems up and everything else. Why? They do not want that bold preaching, man. They do not want that bold preaching there. So they manipulate and say things like, "Oh, you must hate women. You must hate women. That's what it is." No, I hate feminism. I hate that Jezebel spirit. I absolutely hate it. Because I've watched it destroy men's lives. And women's, by the way. And children's lives. All under a religious setting. They hate real prophets of the Lord because she seeks to teach and to have the preeminence in the church. There's a lot of women like that. They seek to have the... And I could preach another one, Jezebel in the home. I might do that sometime. But she seeks to have that preeminence in the home, too. Got to have that preeminence. Can't submit and let her husband lead. Oh, because I can do it much better than him. Yeah, but you're not the one called to do it. So obey God. I've seen these Jezebels chomping at the bit to interject themselves into conversations with men, worried that their husband will be swayed into a certain position. Have to jump in that conversation and be a part of it to make sure. Theological conversations with a bunch of men in there. Oh, I've seen it. They got to teach. They got to get in there as much as they can. She pretends to speak behind his authority, but it's full of false humility and fakery. She pretends like, "Oh, well, I'll ask my husband if I can say this." Why do you even want to say it? Right? What is that? What is that spirit? Tell me, what is that spirit? False humility. It's fake. It's not real. It's a facade. Mm-hmm. It's not real. It's a phony humility and submission that is not really there. That's why a husband flips out on his wife. You ever seen that before? And his daughter's in public like that. Because that Jezebel's running the show, really. And he has to make it look like that's not happening in front of everybody else. Mm-hmm. She'll also cut off her husband and manipulate his affections and emotions and starve him in the marriage bed and use that as a tool of manipulation. That's wicked and satanic, by the way. But it is used. And I'm going to tell you what, it's used in fundamental Baptist homes like you wouldn't believe. Because they're like, "Well, you can't get a divorce." I know, I talked about that on Sunday, but this is kind of all just goes together. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. Don't worry, I'm preaching on headship on Sunday, so some good balance here. Headship of the home, the father's headship. That'll be a good one. But you know what? There's women that use the marriage bed to manipulate. That's been going on for forever. But it goes on in fundamental Baptist homes, and they get away with it, starving their husbands for affection. Happens all the time. And the husbands don't ever deal with it properly or biblically. They just stay a whipped puppy, totally manipulated. That's satanic, and God's going to judge that. God's going to judge that. Yeah, he absolutely hates it. And if you fly under the banner of Christianity and you believe and you're a saved woman, you better never do that. That's wicked. That, by the way, let me tell you what that's called. That's called harlot love. That's not Bible love. That's harlot love. That's saying that I have to get something in order to give something. That's harlot love. That's what harlots do. That's not the love of God. Yeah, it's wicked. It's not biblical love. It's love that comes with a price to pay and must be given something in order for it to, or for them to perform. Jezebel is that prophet slayer. She hates the prophets of God. She'll smell out biblical manhood anywhere she can find it and slay it. 1 Kings 18:13. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And he had to hide out the prophets because Jezebel wanted to kill them all out. Got to silence him. 1 Kings 19:2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Isn't it amazing how Elijah just killed like 500 prophets of Baal died, or 400, 500 prophets of Baal died, right? And here he is, and he gets one threat from a Jezebel, and he runs. Whew. That's how domineering and wicked that spirit is, by the way. It's how absolutely domineering and wicked that spirit is. But she's religious, right? She's in the king's house. She wrote about the law of God and demanded others like Naboth keep the law while she openly broke the law and perverted the law to her own advantage. The strength of a Jezebel is that they are masters at hiding in the church and behind the Bible to manipulate and to control. Oh, I've heard countless stories. Jezebel has a seducing spirit. It's a spirit of seduction. She entices those that are religious to follow her ways and uses Christianity to get what she wants, to hide her true intentions. Turn to Proverbs 7, please. She's a religious woman. Verse number 12, now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in the way to every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Religious woman. Seductive religious woman. There are some women out there that are the cruelest, most wicked women, and they are in churches like ours. They are mothers, and they manipulate and use the Bible and say things like, honor thy father and thy mother. All the while, they are manipulating and being maniacal and wicked and abusing. When you want to stand up for Christian truth, they jazz out on you and use the Bible and want you to honor them above honoring God. That's really what they're saying. Do you honor me above honoring God? Yeah, they're grandmas and mamas and wives that try to use the Bible to get what they want. It's a very sad, seducing spirit. 1 Samuel 2:29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded my habitation, honors thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. What's the point there? The point is this, he honored his sons above God. And that's what that Jezebel spirit wants you to do, is honor your family above God. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, they'll twist and manipulate everything you say and do. Oh, you're just in a cult. Asked to prove it, they can't. But they still keep up with their damnable, wicked language. But never prove it. Never back up what they say. Why? Because Jezebels don't do that. They just falsely accuse and slander people to destroy them and discredit them. Because they hate God, and they hate biblical manhood, and they hate the truth. The Lord warned about putting anyone before him as idolatry. That Jezebel spirit is alive and well in homes and in churches. She hides in the church all the while wearing the right clothes and looking like a God-fearing Christian, but she is a Jezebel with a dirty, seducing heart that doesn't want to get right with God or anyone else to get right with God. Mm-mm. Many women out there today like that. The husband gets saved and the wife is a false convert and does not want to do right and will manipulate and use the Bible and use her emotions and tears to get what she wants. So all she has to say is, well, you're in a cult. So I can take your son, I can steal him, and I can leave, and I can do whatever I want. Right? Mm-hmm. I can falsely accuse, I can slander, I can do any of those things. Why? Because I'm a woman and I can get away with it. Because Jezebels literally run America, that's why. That effeminate spirit runs this nation. That wicked spirit runs this nation. You can see it all over the place. The kind of character, therefore, which would be designated by the term as used here for Jezebel would be that of a woman who was artful and persuasive in her manner, who was capable of exerting a wide influence over others. Listen, who had talents of a high order. Man, they could be the highest, they could be the best real estate agents in the area, can't they? Man, everybody around them, their professional career, they are just the best people ever. They look like the best, the most kindest, nicest, successful people you'll ever meet. Religious, all wrapped up in a religious veneer. But they are maniacal and manipulating the whole time. Amen. Who was a thorough advocate of error was Jezebel. Who was unscrupulous in the means which she employed for her accomplishing of her ends. And the tendency of whose influence was to lead people into the abominable practices of idolatry. That's what that Jezebel did in Revelation chapter 2. And effeminate Ahabs give them a cloak and cover for their sin. Real men that will not stand up against that spirit and speak out against that wickedness and reprove their wives or their mothers or whoever and not deal with that spirit, they give cover for that to continue on. And it does not show real biblical manhood to your son or your daughter. We have a problem with that spirit today, not being checked today. I've met Christian men who have Jezebel wives, and they are the Ahabs that will not stand up to them. So Jezebel runs the show, and she bullies everyone. Think about the seducing spirits that go along with this Jezebel. Think about the women that have ran major cults and major false doctrines and movements that have started. How about the Seventh-day Adventists? Ellen G. White. I'm going to tell you something right now. The guys that follow them are notorious for being limp-wristed, effeminate men. I am convinced that real men cannot stay in that. They might fall into it or follow into it or see it, but real men will not stay in that movement. Why? Because the whole thing was founded by a woman, and the wives and the women of those organizations run those organizations. They run them. The husbands will say, oh, ask my wife. I don't know this Bible question. Ask my wife. Right, Nate? Nate gives testimony that before he was saved, he was part of that. And the wife of the man that he was talking to, he was having a Bible study with the man, the wife, he said, oh, ask my wife the question. She knows better than I do. How about Mary Baker Eddy? Was that the Christian Science, right? Yeah. How about the charismatic movement filled with women preachers that run around leading men and seducing the servants of the Lord to sin? How about these prophetesses? Oh, I'm a prophetess. And these Jezebels get up and they just start screeching and hollering and yelling. run around speaking in tongues and speaking in church when the Bible forbids it? But what's that? That's Jezebel. They suffered Jezebel to teach in their churches. So Jezebels fill those pulpits with churches, fill those churches and their pulpits with wickedness. And they're everywhere. The charismatic movement is just absolutely riddled with it. It's just disgusting. And I'll tell you what, this holiness movement that's like a spinoff or whatever, or before that movement, they do the same thing. They got women up preaching and prophesying and speaking and doing all this other stuff. The Pentecostal movement. Same way. My great grandma was a Pentecostal preacher. Huh? Maybe they were on revival together. No, she was Pentecostal. Was she fierier than me? I don't know. I never heard her preach. I don't think I got it from her, though. The charismatic movement is filled with those women, though. Absolutely filled with them. They domineer and they run those organizations. They got that wicked spirit about them. Yeah, they started it. That's right. That's right. They started the movement. Every one of those heretical movements started by women, ran by them, and facilitate that Jezebel spirit. And the men, like those Seventh-day Adventist men, I'm telling you, like that one guy with those videos that says Alan G. White, that guy right there, I mean, that guy completely sounds like a Fruit Loop, okay? Completely sounds like a Fruit Loop. Have you read The Great Controversy? They ask you that all the time. No, I'm a man. I don't read that. Thanks. That kind of stuff makes people mad, doesn't it? Is it? I don't know. I'm expecting people to get upset with this a little bit. Amen. So especially some women to get upset with it a little bit. I'm sure. Because it's very straightforward. Next, Jezebel will use religion to cloak her sin and abuse to others. All under the guise of zeal for the Lord did Jezebel persecute real manhood and the prophets of the Lord. Jezebel sensed real manhood, a man that would not sell his vineyard, so she persecuted, hated him, and killed him. Why? Because Naboth stood up against Ahab and said, God forbid that I should sell you my inheritance. And Ahab came into the house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So he pouted like a big baby. By the way, did you notice how Ahab left off, the Lord forbid me? The Lord forbid it. That's why Naboth wouldn't sell it. Because you weren't supposed to sell your inheritance to anybody. You're going to remove the ancient landmarks. Yeah. He left that out a little bit, didn't he? And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And now what did Jezebel do? Verse number 10. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. So what did Jezebel do? She used the law of God. She used the word of God to kill that man. All the while, she broke the word of God. So openly in front of everybody, she looks as if she really believes the Bible and she really believes in God's law and she really stands for truth and everything else and she really is a godly woman and everything else. But behind the scenes in her home, behind the scenes and when she has an opportunity, she destroys him. She kills him. Mm-hmm. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of this in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. 1 Kings 21, verse number 13. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. All in the name of zeal for God. You know how many times I've seen this with women like that? Mm-hmm. All was in the name of God, all in zeal for God. So it's okay for me to be this way because I'm just trying to contend for the faith. I'm just trying to stand for the word of God. It's a cloak. It's not real. It's because that spirit doesn't want any strong biblical manhood. It hates it. Absolutely hates it. One trait of Jezebel is her obsessive passion for domineering and controlling others, especially in the spiritual realm. When she became queen, she began a relentless campaign to rid Israel of all evidences of Jehovah. She ordered the extermination of all the prophets of Jehovah. Remember that? What's the first thing she did? First thing she did was silence the prophets, kill them all. That's what that spirit does. Shut them up. That's why women that have that spirit try to shut their husbands up, try to keep them quiet. We watch it on the street all the time, a husband trying to have a conversation with us, a woman shut him up. Man, she'll start smacking him if he don't leave. She will beat him down to the ground if he don't leave. I ain't kidding you. Isn't that right? We watched it. She'll smack PJ if you don't leave. That's right. She didn't like the beard. That keeps side, you're biscuit head, man. She nailed you a good one. Yeah, sometimes it's the husband trying to pull them away. But they won't go away. Nah. Because they want to shut you up. They want to shut you down. Those Jezebels want you to be quiet. They don't like the prophets of God. They persecute the prophets of God. They hate them. Right? Wicked Jezebels. Her strongest enemy was Elijah, who demanded a contest on Mount Carmel. You know, well, later her strongest enemy was Jehu, who destroyed her. But I've seen a lot of women trample men in the name of God, and they had a zeal for God to lead their husbands. I've seen women call their husbands to preach. And have more of a desire for them to preach than they had to preach. And for them to start a church more than they had a desire to start a church. Because I'm going to tell you what right now. I'm going to just be as plain as I can be. If you're called by God, there 6 to 8 months of you being out trying to start a church is not going to stop you or discourage you. Nothing's going to stop you. By God's grace, if you are God's man, if you are called to be God's man, then you know what? A whole room full of Jezebels ain't going to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And believe me, I've had rooms of them. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Right. You know what? 6 to 8 months of discouragement or people not coming, man, I've dealt with that. Years. And you know what? If you get sent out and you get sent out and ordained, you know what? You may deal with that for years. Right. Yep. If you're called by God, you'll deal with it. Amen. What does 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 25 say? But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Oh, man, Jezebel stirred it up. Jezebel loves to stir up the strife and then walk away and act as if she had nothing to do with it. Just walk away. She stands behind the man or over him to dictate to him. They stir up trouble between the siblings and manipulate and cause them to hate one another. I've seen that, too. Turn one sibling against the other by backbiting and talking about that person to them and going in between them. That's a Jezebel spirit that does that. Manipulates that. Why? So nobody loves anybody. That's why. So everybody hates everybody. When Jezebel sets her sight on you, if you're the one that she's got her sights on, everybody else around you is going to hate you eventually. She can get away with it. She'll manipulate to make sure everybody hates you so you are tortured and have nobody to love you. I'll tell you that right now. Is this too real? I can give you written testimonies of all this. Dare me. Please dare me to. I will give you written testimonies. Why are you preaching this? Because God told me to. That's why, number one. Number two, I can give you written testimonies of people. that have went through these things, that have dealt with these things, all wrapped up into religion, all wrapped up into Christianity, women that have raised children in this garbage, and husbands that have never stood up and stood against it. Watch how it destroyed people's lives. Absolutely destroyed them. And then I get to try to help them clean up the mess by the grace of God. All made to look super spiritual, meanwhile controlling everything. Jezebel had to find the closest thing to true religion she could so she could mask and hide who she really was. Oh, they do it, believe me. Jezebel's a religious woman. She has such a single-minded determination to have her own way, no matter who is destroyed in the process. At any cost, she'll have what she wants. Jezebel truly despises the order of God and seeks to pervert that order. That's why she was angry with Naboth for not selling out his vineyard for money. Because she didn't like his order. She didn't like the fact that he cared about what his fathers thought about his inheritance that the Lord had given him. Next, that Jezebel spirit hates biblical Christian manhood. Hates it. You know, I've been around, I've seen women try to discourage young men from being men. I've seen women try to discourage, I've seen women absolutely 100% hate preaching against feminism, hate preaching against the feminist movement, hate it, hate preaching against that Jezebel spirit. Don't like it. Why? Because many of them have it, that's why. They have attributes of it, they have traits of it. So it's not comfortable to talk about. You know what the best thing is about being a Christian is you can get right with God. That's one of the best things about being a Christian. Did you know that? You can get right with God. You don't have to say no dirty old Jezebel. You can get right with God. Right. Now see, when we are showed that we are wrong about something, true Bible faith means that I look at that and I say, you know what? I need to get right with God about that. Right. Secondly, the Jezebel spirit is a man-hater. Seeks to emasculate, to deprive men of their effectiveness. In their spirit or their force, all men, and to take away from them their authority and power over others. That spirit fosters a distrust and a hatred of men in general. You ever seen that? Oh, I have. There's this disdain and hate for biblical manhood. Oh, you think you're going to lead? No, we're equal partners. We're equal partners. Yeah, because that's all over the King James Bible, right? You know, that's what they say, though. We're equal partners. No, we're not. And what you mean is you really want to control things. That's what you mean about being equal partners. It means that you want to run things. You want to be the dog and you want me to be the tail. That's what you're saying. It fosters a distrust and hatred of men in general. That Jezebel spirit is in constant agitation, terribly aggressive, very determined, callous, controlling, selfish, power-hungry, manipulative, unrepentant, deceitful spirit, and overwhelmingly evil spirit, and those are mostly only its good points. Boy, it's quiet, man, I'm telling you. Either you're thinking a lot or you know some Jezebels, I don't know which. Keep driving, that's right. She hated Elijah, and his boldness for the Lord. She wanted to stop them at any cost. She tried to use fear and manipulation to stop him. Isn't that right? I'm going to take everything away from you that you have so you stop serving your God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen up to me. Don't you ever let anybody look at you and tell you that. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's your mother, if it's your wife, or anybody else. That you stop serving God because some woman's trying to manipulate you and trying to destroy you. Oh, you got to put your family first. No, you put Jesus Christ first. You put Jesus first. He's the one that died for your sins. Because I'm going to tell you what, that woman will, oh, well, I'll do this if you come back to all these conditions. You do all these things. No, you won't. Right. You just want to control me. No, you won't. You just want control. And as soon as I gave up and sold my vineyard out and sold my inheritance out, you'll end up leaving anyway. She tried to use fear and manipulation to stop him, right? Send him a nasty message. Tell him she's going to kill him, right? You're going to die. I don't like that preaching. You hear things like that? He's mean. The way he says that is too negative. Hate speech. What's that? It's almost like I heard it before. Oh, I have. And see, here's the thing you have to understand, though. When I keep hearing that, oh, it's mean the way you did this, or that's mean, or you're negative, or you're mean, or everything else. See, I can discern through that. What does that tell me? You're lying. You don't like what I said. It is convicting you. That's what that means to me. You're convicted, but I don't like the way you said it. No, you don't like that a real man stood up and preached. Amen. You don't like that a prophet stood up and preached. And you want to change the prophet. You know, I think it's funny because there's a lot of people out there that have always tried. Well, get in line. There's a big, long one of people that have tried to change me and stop me from preaching the way God's called me to preach. Ton of them have tried to stop me from doing it. Stop being so bold. Back up. Tons of Jezebels. They sit there with their hands. Oh, you want me to go more? Okay. Amen. Is that your way of saying amen? Do some more, preacher? Okay, I'll keep going. Amen. I tried to control it. Tell me what I was going to do. I don't even let my wife do that. Why would I let you?
Amen. Right.
Why would I let you do it? Oh, they must hate women and oppress them. So Jezebel says. Could you please provide facts for what you just said? Could you please show me in the Bible when you make that false accusation against me? Could you please show me where I've done that? Show me, number one, where I've done that, and show me in the Bible where that's where holding people to the order of the sexes, the way God laid them down, a husband being the head of it. Could you show me from the Word of God? Silence. Jezebel won't have anything to say to that. Why? Because she can't. She'll just keep railing on you because she has no answer. There is no answer, and she knows it. I find that very combative. I know. Prophets are combative. What, you think this was a picnic lunch? You think Yogi Bear was standing in front of you or what? I mean, I'm going to preach the Word of God. Of course it's combative. It is, because there's a spirit out there that hates this type of preaching. Absolutely hates it. Despises it. You must hate women and oppress them. Why? By having them keep to their biblical order? Well, you must hate your wife because you don't want her to be under biblical order. Right. And you must want a man because you don't want her to be a woman. Right. See, I can reverse that. It's really easy. I can do the same thing. Yep. Yeah, I'm going to tell I've seen it time and time again. Those people don't really come straight on. Do you notice how Jezebel didn't face Elijah straight on? What'd she do? She sent a messenger. You know what happens? They send messengers. They don't do the dirty work themselves. They send somebody else to do it. All manipulation. That's all that is. You just don't like bold preaching of God's holy word, so you jez out, manipulate, and try to stop it and derail it with deception, not wanting to admit that the real issue is that you have a wicked heart. You don't like being rebuked. Because if your husband wakes up someday and figures out he's a man and not a neutered one, then he'll not suffer that spirit of Jezebel any longer. Right, so it happens when men wake up to real manhood. Amen. Mm-hmm. The high-profile type, I want to explain some of these things to you here. The high-profile type is generally very friendly and sociable, outspoken, and highly visible. She is often seen as the woman who wears the pants of the family, though. The low-profile type is soft-spoken, giving the illusion of being solicitous. Listen to this very closely, because there's a lot of low-profile Jezebels. Expressing an attitude of concern and consideration. Every time they come up, what you're doing is making me cry. What did I do? You're up there yelling, and you're just misrepresenting God so much. And Meanwhile, let's just be real. That lady's probably whoring around. I'm sorry, but that's what she's probably doing. Oh, I hate that. Don't say that, preacher. Well, I'm going to say a lot worse, okay? Because I hate that wicked spirit. And I'm telling you what, if you got it in your heart, you better get some things right with God tonight. And you'll enjoy this type of preaching once you're right with God. You won't hate it. Expressing an attitude of concern and consideration. We've seen it on the street so many times. So many times on the street. Start bawling at, I'm really concerned about this. That you're not loving people. Fake. And then the next day they're like, I hope you burn in hell. Like 5 seconds later when you walk away. Wait a minute, I thought you didn't believe in hell and God loved everybody. Not you, he hates you. You're going to burn in hell. I'm just telling that's real. Documented, yeah. In the Michael Landon Chronicles. I hate you, sir. Hey, she came from a sovereign grace, independent, fundamental King James Baptist brighter church. Landmarkism, yeah. You don't get any more labels than that, okay? You don't get much more Baptist down in there than that, right? I mean, that's just like hardcore there. And she was like, there's nothing wrong with Michael Landon. Michael taught me to love, but I hate you, sir. Yeah, she ran, and they all came out. I tried. You can't be mean to Michael like that. I tried to rip his soul out. I tried to rip his soul apart, but I couldn't get to it. Well, touch me, lady. Yeah, leave my chakra alone. Play with your own. Your chakra. Full of eagerness to do something, that spirit. Paying very careful attention to details. That means a perfectionist, by the way. Oh. And by the way, perfectionists hate me a lot. Those type of people, they really don't like me. Because I defy every bit of logic and everything that should make sense to them. Totally causes an absolute meltdown for them. Because they are perfectionists and God should be using them and not this backwards dude that comes out of the wilderness here. What in the world is God using him for? I can't stand him. He doesn't pay attention to detail. He doesn't start on time. He doesn't stop on time. He doesn't like country music. He yells all the time. He spits and everything else. He's not very nice. Full of eagerness to do something. Paying very careful attention to details. Motherly, protective, and even appearing very submissive. The low profile type may be the most dangerous, and she is the most difficult to discern. I can vouch for that and say that is very true. She relies heavily on manipulation for her power. Extremely subtle performances. I've seen this low-profile one many times. It's more difficult to detect, like you said. Like Jezebel in the Bible, she is able to mask it behind proper order and headship. Within these two main types, there are two manifestations, the seducer and the cool one. The seducer uses any type of seduction available to gain control and power as a method of manipulation, but specializes in spiritual seduction to operate on both males and females. Flattery. Remember that sermon? Was it flattery, tool of the Antichrist, or tool of the devil? I forget which one. They use flattery. There's a lot of women that are masters at using flattery to get what they want. And I see that flattery, and then all of a sudden, I know the knife's getting ready to come. Here it comes. I really appreciate what you guys are doing out here, but... Thank you. Right? Every time. Felt that dagger a few times. But listen to this, and this is true too, man. I want you to understand something, because your wife will see this before you do. Let me tell you this. Your wife will be able to detect this in a woman before you do. Very true. Unless a man has experienced this and he's seen this before. Men are particularly blind and easy victims to the subtleties of this seduction. as she flatters with her attention. Women seduced by the Jezebel spirit are blinded to their own seduction as they do not expect it or are not aware of such manipulation. A good example of the cool Jezebel spirit personality can frequently be seen as the efficient and often plain executive assistant at the side of a powerful businessman or church leader, always ready to help or control. Very outspoken and aggressive. Tries to hide it and mask it that they're not really that way. Very much so. This spirit, this Jezebel spirit, is a deceiver. The spirit works in private. People outside her circle hardly know her maneuvering and are an easy prey for her manipulation. They don't even realize that outside there's people in the circle say, man, you're being manipulated. You don't even know. They don't know it. Mm-hmm. Hardly know her maneuvering and are an easy prey for her manipulation. Those that are possessed by her tend to defend her from any form of criticism, like many men today defend feminism. It's a manipulator. It's a manipulating spirit. The Jezebel spirit uses other people as objects where it suits her need to gain control, influence, or power. You're nothing but a step to move them in the right direction. Like, basically, they would come to you, and they would have an idea of what they wanted, what their husband was supposed to do in the ministry and for the Lord. It'd be their idea. They would have it all planned out and figured out. Like, shouldn't I be talking to your husband about this? No, because he's not the one doing it. They'll use churches and people as a pawn, oh, just to get what I want. That's it. As soon as I get what I want, I'm fine. Right. It's just a stepping stone. That's all it is. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Once she has gained the control desired, she generally rejects and tosses the people aside. You wonder how people can just flippantly leave a church like that, like be like, oh, I love the local church and talk about it all the time, and then all of a sudden, boom, out the door, gone. Because that woman got him into the church, and that woman got him out of the church.
Right. Amen.
Right. Ouch. Preacher, why can't you be like everybody else and just don't talk about that stuff? And just don't talk about any of that, because I'm not that fluffy little Joel Osteen bunny rabbit you want. That's why. I'm not that guy. I'm going to deal with it real, and I'm going to chase that stinking wicked Jezebel spirit right out of this church. And wherever it's harboring itself, I'm going to drive furiously through it. Why? Because I absolutely hate it. That's why God hates it. And God's going to judge a church for having it and harboring it.
Right.
Amen. I don't put up with manipulation here.
Right.
I absolutely do not put up with it. I don't do it. I'm straightforward and honest with people. And you know what? Women and other men, they're going to be straightforward and honest. Not going to manipulate people and deal with that. I've dealt with people that manipulate. I've dealt with it right in this church and dealt with that spirit, and it's not going to be acceptable.
Right.
When you hold that accountable, two things happen. One, they get right, or two, they get out.
Right.
But they don't continue to torture people.
Amen.
With manipulation.
Right.
Amen. A Jezebel spirit demands worship from others. It's like a queen bee syndrome. She must have dominance and control in her home. Other family members exist just to please her. That Jezebel spirit requires worship from her family and followers to be their goddess. Oh, come on. That's not true, is it? Really? Yeah, I've seen it. You have a disagreement with one of those people, man, they could try to apologize to you, but nothing's ever good enough because you got to just grovel at their feet. And even that, after you grovel at their feet, it's still not good enough. You can weep tears and they'll laugh at you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't care. I feel like I'm hitting a nerve.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing's ever good enough. The Jezebel spirit is extremely authoritarian or bossy by nature. Though subtly with the low-profile type, she's easily offended if her authority is questioned. and will often respond with extreme anger at even the slightest offense. Yep. She demands blind loyalty. Yep. Mm-hmm. Blind loyalty. Authoritarian. Everything. We'll talk about the perfectionist side. We're going to get to that. That'll kind of go in hand. How about this one? That Jezebel spirit has unrealistic expectations of others.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Her expectations of others are always unrealistic because others cannot meet her demand for complete submission. If they do try, she despises them and casts them aside when she asks what she wants out of them. Anyone attempting to relate to a person with this spirit is literally in a no-win situation. You can't please them. I've seen women like that before. I don't care. Husband, they ask husband to go to the store to get something. Husband will go to the store to get something. He comes back with the wrong thing. Man, they just blow up and lose it. Just blow up and lose it. Nothing's ever good enough. Instead of having a sweet spirit and be like, thank you for getting that for me, and just not even say anything about it. Mm-hmm. Nothing pleases it. They'll destroy everything in their path and have every bit of problem. Next, it's a perfectionist. Perfectionism is a common characteristic of the Jezebel spirit, generating self-hatred in the victim and a despising of others around her who fail to meet her exaggerated standards. This is part of the unrealistic expectations she has towards herself and others, but it's also an excuse for disrespect toward others, especially those in authority, since they don't measure up. So she doesn't have to show respect, of course. I've been around women like that too. They don't like that. They don't. They like they're perfectionists. They want that professionalism. And when they figure out that this pastor doesn't care about that, doesn't practice that, doesn't care about their, and even does it, and even definitely doesn't want to be that. Right. Woo, they get mad. Why? Because they got it all figured out. They're gonna fix. They're gonna fix everything that Pastor Cooley has wrong. They're gonna fix it all. Right. They're gonna be that perfectionist. They can do it better than you. Yep. And if you don't hold up to their standard, they're so pharisaical and high-minded. Whether it's music, whether it's about music, even if it's not ungodly music, if it's not their way, perfectly their brand of music or their way to play the piano or their way to do something. Oh, that's all over Baptist churches. You ain't a kid, it is, man. Seduction, control, and manipulation are the strongest parts of the Jezebel spirit. These are the spirits of witchcraft and are extremely dangerous. Nearly everything the Jezebel spirit does utilizes one or both spirits to attain her goal. The Jezebel spirit is that ultimate manipulator. Ultimate manipulator. What do they use? Tears. They use tears. What's that? Feels? I don't know what that is. They use tears. Did you say a field? Oh, okay. Translate that for me, Nate. Don't speak that here. Don't speak that here. Next, you're going to have a man bun. Okay, knock it off. Do that here. Do that here. Knock that off. That is. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Mm-hmm. The first step in someone who has that Jezebel spirit is they work to control their victim by seduction. She'll use flattery, smooth prophetic sayings. Smooth things, flattering words. Flatter you, butter you up to get what she wants. She knows how to use deep emotional hurts and wounds to manipulate and control as she creates apparent deep ties with others. Mm-hmm. Put on the tears, and many women know that if they start crying, men can't handle it. So they just start crying. So they use their tears. So they pour on the tears. Absolutely pour them on. Every time they want what they want, they want to get what they want. That's what they do. They pour on the tears. And the man's like, oh, no, what am I supposed to do? I just made them cry. Mm-hmm. Using... Oh, no, you're not allowed to talk about those fake tears. Hey, listen, I've looked at people and said, listen, those are fake tears. You need to dry it up and knock it off. I'm not kidding you. I have. I know when my daughters do it when there's nothing wrong with them and they're just making stuff up. I was going to say, knock it off. You're making that up. There's nothing wrong with you. So oh, that's mean. No, if she's legitimately hurt about something, I care. Yep. But if you're going to pour on the tears and try to manipulate me, it ain't going to work. Not going to work. And I've seen it with women. They will pour on those tears. They will use those tears to use it as a way to manipulate others so they don't have to answer for what they've done wrong. Yeah. Yep. Hey, listen to me. Before I was saved, I ran around with a girl that she could turn those tears on and off like you wouldn't believe and get whatever she wanted to do. We got into a wreck one time, and we got away with it because of her tears. They were. Manipulator. I'm telling you, they use that. Jezebel's spirit is like a shark. She's most vicious and dangerous. She circles the lives of others, looking for teachable, seducible, controllable disciples of her own. Yeah. Get them right where they want so she could teach them in the church. She could gather a prophetess to seduce my servants to sin, right? And to commit fornication. Get their own little groupie going. Get their own little disciple going that they could disciple and text them all day and give them all this spiritual advice and build it all up so they could be the main teacher of them. So they could be the guru of them. Right. And then one day just cut it off like that. Because all it was a means to an end. You know who that Jezebel spirit looks for? Those that are in rebellion. Yep, you want to be in rebellion? You'll be a perfect candidate for Jezebel to take you and seduce you. Who are weak? She looks for weak people. Wounded people. Oh, they love to pick on wounded people. That they can, because wounded people you can manipulate. People that are wounded, you can manipulate very easily, and they know that.
Right.
That's right, it is wicked. Are those who are contending, bucking, and fighting any established spiritual authority? If they're rebellious people that are fighting spiritual authority, they lack on. You know what I've seen? I've seen people, and I don't understand how that works, but I've seen those that are rebellious that leave. There's people that can talk to them that leave our church out of rebellion, and they can talk to them. They don't want to talk to me. Why not? That's why. That's why. Straight. Get right with God. It's right here. Do right. But see, that Jezebel spirit likes to migrate to people like that. Mm-hmm. It's a possessive spirit. The Jezebel spirit is very possessive and domineering. She wants to control others. That Jezebel spirit loves power. Give me, give me, give me. Power and authority is what she's after. She likes to be in control of others' lives because she draws her strength from controlling others. She spiritually drains her victim. She uses faults or weaknesses she perceives in the person she's attempting to control to create feelings of shame or guilt, therefore ultimately submission to her will. Oh, yeah. Backdoor try to control the church through different things. Creating faults in her own mind and other people and act like there's something wrong with them or wrong with their family or wrong with them so they could try to use their unreasonable expectations and their perfectionist standards against other people so they could try to control them. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. She uses self-pity and her own weaknesses to manipulate others into submitting to her out of compassion or pity. I'm gonna read that again to you because I want you to be very careful how you deal with things. She uses self-pity and her own weakness to manipulate another into submitting to her out of compassion or pity. You know what I've had people do? Tell me things about their life that they don't tell anybody else about their life. Why? So then you will pity them while they are manipulating you.
Right.
While they're treating you poorly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Why? So they can continue to treat you poorly. They can control you. And you have pity for them. You feel bad for them because of their weakness and because of their pity. So you feel bad for them. Yeah, emotionalism, yeah. Creates emotion, then what happens? The facts don't matter anymore, right? It's just all emotions.
Yep, exactly.
So then it takes, what does it take? What happened to the prophet Elijah? Man, he was tied up. He was getting emotionally tied up with that. He got that letter, right? And he was like, whew, I'm getting out of here, man. Why? He was emotionally tied up. What happened to Jehu? Nothing. Jehu didn't care. Jehu was a soldier. What did he do? I'm a killer. I ain't going to talk to her. Throw that witch down. Bash her brains on the ground. I didn't write it. God did. Take it up with him if you don't like it. The dogs licked her blood up. Wicked old Jezebel spirit. That's right, ate her. Even those eunuchs said, man, we ain't going to die with her. Throw her down. Threw that witch down and bashed her brains on the ground. Remember, that's the same lady. But then before your emotions get killed, remember, it's the same lady that killed 500 of the prophets of the Lord.
Amen.
Absolutely killed them. Slaughtered them. Why? Because they were prophets of God. Because she hates God. Just like that Jezebel spirit hates God. So she used her self-pity and her own weakness to manipulate another into submitting to her out of compassion or pity. Feeling sorry for those who have the Jezebel spirit is not compassion, it's folly.
Amen.
You got to look at them and say, stop your manipulating tears and get right with God.
Amen.
Stop playing games and get right with God.
Right.
Cry me a river and swim in it if you want to, but get right with God.
Amen.
It's the only way you deal with that is very forcefully, drive furiously through it. Because it's a spirit that wants to wear you down. Just like it wore Elijah down. He was worn out. Oh, man, he's just wore down. That's what it does, that nagging contention, just to wear you down, to always be there. Murmuring and complaint and criticism, a type of this spirit, very popular everywhere, especially in churches. Which one of the spirits most used by this evil, wicked Jezebel? She uses criticism of perceived faults in others to build up her own self-esteem.
Yep.
Perceived faults, by the way.
Right.
To build up her own self-esteem and to justify her disobedience of or lack of respect for others. Because she tends to perfectionism, any fault she finds in others is grounds for disobeying their authority. Listen, that's why a lady needs to be under a husband, a father, or if she's not married, under the leadership of the church. She has to have some accountability. Why? Because she'll bounce through and use it as an excuse to never be submitted to anyone or anything. If she can bounce through two authorities, she definitely will do that, because then she can manipulate both sides and continue on with that. She uses criticism as a tool to manipulate those around her, and along with murmuring and complaint, causes divisiveness to weaken her opposition and thereby to gain control over and to destroy them. Those with that Jezebel spirit have lustful spirits, lust for power being primary. The Jezebel spirit displays anger, vicious, and sometimes violent behavior when opposed. Hey, I've heard a lot of testimonies of that, of people suffering the wrath of a Jezebel woman in her violent anger. Having two siblings hold one down while you beat them. I've heard that. Why? So everybody hates everybody, that's why. By the way, this is an independent King James only fundamental Baptist person. I wouldn't call her a lady. She'll turn on one who refuses to do her will or submit to her, especially if she has been successful manipulating this person in the past, frequently with a vicious, berating, verbal attack aimed at humiliation. The emotional damage caused by these outbreaks can be devastating to the one of whom she directs her wrath. This is often the source of terrible emotional wounds for her children and spouse. All creating emotional wounds, berating the children in front of them, just criticizing them and putting them down and shaming them in front of people. Discouraging them. When this angry behavior happens in public, it often exposes the true spirit in operation to others who may have been previously deceived. Yeah. Well, I've seen it in street preaching before. I've seen somebody act normal, look like their children are well-behaved and everything else like that. Then I see them completely destroying them in front of us, putting them down and destroying them and treating them like they're stupid. What happened? The truth just came out. By the way, the Jezebel spirit frequently enjoys people's poor health, especially the low-profile type. For them, it's a tool for attention, sympathy, and other forms of manipulation. Don't use your health as an excuse. Don't use it as a tool of manipulation. But Jezebel used that tool as a manipulation. She'll use it against that person that's in bad health to control them, so they can get away with what they want to do. After all, they're unhealthy, right? The Jezebel spirit frequently perceives themselves as intellectual and spiritually superior to others and talk down to others. Just talk down to others as if they're better than them. Exalt themselves above their brethren and other people. Like they got it all figured out. People tell me that. Well, there's nothing wrong with my family. We're perfect. A Jezebel loves to be in control of information. If there is ever a situation where information is important, he will push to be the first to know it. Seems to know everything about everyone. Where he gets all his information is beyond comprehension. But he can dictate to you data and details about people's lives and actions in mass quantities. You know, it's interesting because this spirit right there, always telling people like what you're studying, that you have all this information, that you know all these things, and you have all this information that you studied. Offering it to everybody instead of people coming to you and talking to you about it. And then not letting anybody talk, which is the next point. Many people talk habitually, but a Jezebel uses talking as a form of control. In a typical conversation, he or she does all the talking, whether it's about sports or weather or the kingdom of God. Because of this form of control, he is unable to receive input from anyone else in his life. All conversations with him is one-sided. You're doing the listening. I've had people sit me down and just, when I went to say something to them, they just said, no, you sit down and listen to me. I'm like, okay. What are they doing? Manipulating, controlling the information, manipulating people. Domineering, having to have all the talk. It's always one-sided. A Jezebel's main thrust is complacency, double-mindedness, and silent rebellion. Why do you think Elijah said to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. Jezebels love people that were halted between two opinions. What I'm saying? You get on fire for God and they start hating you. Why? Because you're halted between two opinions before that. You haven't surrendered your life to God. As soon as you surrender your life to God, what happens? People don't like your faith anymore. They don't like your church anymore. They don't like the fact that their daughter-in-law got saved anymore. Why? Because they got more saved than they thought she was going to get. That's why. They like that spirit of complacency. Why? So their sin is accepted. Nobody shines a light on their sin. Your life doesn't shine a light on their sin, and they don't feel bad about it. Right. And they can go on in complacency without surrender. When you surrender to God, when you do that, when you're not halted between two opinions, and you fully surrender to God, it shows and everybody sees it. Why? Because we live in a land of make-believers today. That's why. Like Sam Adams calls them, make-believers. That's what we live in, is a land of make-believers today. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Baptist churches.
Right, right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
And when you start standing up and your faith starts showing and you start separating from sin in your life and not loving the world and living for God, guess what? Everybody notices it. Now I have a problem with you. Now it's a problem. Why? Because I can't manipulate you. I can't control you. You're not halted between two opinions.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And Jezebel loves that spirit that's halted between two opinions, that never sells out to God.
Right.
See, you know why Naboth couldn't sell out his vineyard? Because he was already sold out to God.
Amen.
So she killed him. Jezebel's main thrust is to be controlled, in control. And a large part of that is catching you off guard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The element of surprise works well when she shows up a day early for a meeting or something like that. Or calls you out of the blue and says, oh, I have to meet with you, preacher, because there's some serious problems here. Oh, okay. Out of the blue, like nowhere.
Yeah, the world's ending.
Mm-hmm. The Jezebel spirit absolutely hates and shuns repentance and humility. Because that Jezebel spirit is prideful and rebellious. She hates repentance and humility. There are two types. These are two mighty weapons against that Jezebel spirit. Repentance. I'm not talking about false humility either. I'm talking about real biblical humility. Jezebel and children, those with the Jezebel spirit view children as being perverted. She says she loves them, but she really doesn't even know how to love them, using them as weapons to advance her own selfish needs. Children are simply pawns in her power and control games. Mm-hmm. Indeed, the trend now all over the Western world is to have very few children, if any. A Jezebel spirit feminist said the most merciful thing a large family can do to one of its infant members is to kill it. Remember that? Margaret Sanger. Jezebel. Yeah, burn in hell, that's right. But what do they use it for? A lot of women use their children against them, play games between the children, create a favorite of a child to foster hate and anger and distrust and malice and jealousy in the lives of children. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is the siblings hate each other. And the one didn't even know it because he wasn't even doing anything different but living his life. But he was a pawn in a game. That Jezebel spirit is a classic backstabber. She'll smile at you, give you a hug and kiss, and then as soon as you turn around, stab you in the back, repeatedly with vigor, enjoying every wound she inflicts. Mm-hmm. Jezebel's a religious woman. She can be found in the home. She can be found in the church. She affects her children, her husband, and the victims she abuses. Wherever you find Elijah's, there'll be Jezebel's. They'll always try to lurk. They'll always try to come around. She'll be lurking around. Look at John the Baptist. He lost his head to one. Samson was brought down by a Jezebel, right? Many a man was brought down by a Jezebel. Because they hate biblical authority. Jezebel often manifests within the most spiritual people you will ever meet. In the church, Jezebel will first attempt to get close to the pastor or other leaders with flattery. She'll attempt to gain his confidence. She calls herself a prophetess often to manipulate others for her spirituality. They are spirits of manipulation. Whether it's tears, whether it's situations, whether it's pitting one person against the other, manipulating them, it's a real spirit and it continues to thrive in churches everywhere. And God said to cast that spirit out. You want to know the only way to defeat him? I'm not really going to double down on this because that'll be probably preached on later on. But like Jehu, drive furiously. He didn't have a conversation with Jezebel.
Right. Amen.
He drove straight through. He didn't negotiate with her. And that's the problem today. Nobody wants to deal with these things head on. When you see these things of manipulation, when you see these things being done, you have to deal with them. If your wife is displaying these things, then you need to lovingly take her and deal with them. Because you know what? You don't have to be a full-blown Jezebel to have some of these traits and be like, you know what? That's a manipulating spirit. That's wrong, what you're doing. And sit down and correct them. So your daughter or your son doesn't grow up and think that's acceptable and start mimicking those same things. Because that's the real problem here. We are raising, we get into next generations of this Jezebel spirit, this effeminate Ahab spirit, where biblical manhood is completely despised and Jezebels rule everything. And if that husband does one thing against his wife that his wife doesn't want him to do, then what happens? She's going to feel his wrath. That's what happens. It's a wicked spirit. I mean, there's probably more that could be said about it, to be honest with you, but there's that Jezebel spirit in the home that could be talked about sometime. But, you know, there's enough attributes there for you to be able to recognize it and understand that it's real and it's there. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in Christian fundamental Baptist churches. I've seen it in this one before. I've seen that spirit before. I've seen it rear its ugly head up, and I've seen women use things for their advantage. I've seen men do some things, and I'm going to talk about effeminate Ahab sometime too. Don't worry. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about them. We're not going to let them have a pass. But I'll tell you something right now, that Jezebel spirit is alive and well, and I've seen it in women. I've seen them mimic these things and practice these things, and every relationship that you have is destroyed because of that manipulation. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that, well, you know, what's wrong with you, and a woman doesn't want to tell you, doesn't want to talk about it. What is that? That's a form of manipulation. You're angry, he doesn't know why, and now you're manipulating him because he's wondering what he did that was wrong. It's wicked. No, it's wrong. It's wrong for a man to do that to a woman. It's wrong for a woman to do that to a man. No, you sit down and you reason together and you talk about it. You don't just sit there and make somebody wonder what's wrong with you. That's wicked. So they don't wonder. They sit there and wonder, well, how did I disappoint you, or what did I do wrong, or what's the deal? No, that's a wicked spirit. It's got to be dealt with. Or to cry false tears. I mean, we can't always discern that, but you know whether or not if it's real or not, or you're just using it to get what you want, to get your way. And it ought to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, not your way. The husband is to follow Christ. The wife is to follow her husband. Instead of trying to lead him and dominate him, or use the children as pawns, or hide things and manipulate things from the husband. It's all wicked. It destroys authority. That's what that Jezebel spirit does, is destroy authority. The only way to defeat it, like we said, is to drive furiously against it, straight through it, and never back up. And don't tolerate it. Listen, I've seen it here in people, and I've sat down and said, listen, you're not going to treat people like that. You're not going to manipulate. You're not going to talk about people like that. You're not going to manipulate others like that. You're not going to send. And by the way, don't be giving veiled comments about your brethren either. If you got an issue with your brother, you take it up with your brother. Don't be giving veiled comments and putting people down. That's a form of that manipulation too as well. You deal with it straight on. If you got a problem with somebody, deal with it. Man up and deal with it. Sit there and hide it and act like you don't have a problem, and then talk about them behind their back, or backbite them, or stab them. It's all the same spirit. It's wicked. It's not right. Can't be tolerated. It's unbiblical. Or using situations to your advantage, or fake tears, or any of that other nonsense, that form of manipulation in dealing with things. Flattery, using flattery to get what you want, all the while your motives are not pure and you really have something else in mind. Looking for a good spot that you can get close enough to that person you can stab them in the back. It's wicked. It's a wicked spirit. It needs to be dealt with. That's why men have to stand up and be men and lead their homes. I've already talked about loving your wives and everything else. You know I preach those sermons. But men need to lead, and women need to follow, and they need to not manipulate. Doesn't matter what you want. It matters what Christ wants. Father, Lord, thank you. Pray you'd help us, Lord. Help us understand the danger of this Jezebel spirit that you said it was in the church, Lord. You said it would be. It would affect everything. And it would seduce people. Lord, feminism in Christian churches today is absolutely deplorable. It's wicked, and it's all over the place. They're filled with it. Our churches are filled with that feminism, Lord, that wicked spirit of Jezebel that reigns in the churches, Lord. It's a seducing, wicked spirit that effeminizes and neuters men and keeps them from doing what God wants them to do, being biblical men. Help us, dear Lord, I pray, to stand against that spirit, to out it, to show what it really is, to drag it to the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.